Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
Hey guys, this is Chris. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin. I called before to share a story with you guys about when I was a baby. I just wanted to call with that. I'm trying to go in order of the stories. So I have stories from far back as I can remember to, you know, a couple days ago. So this story real quick, try not to make it too long. My grandma and grandpa moved into a new apartment. They moved out of their house into a new apartment. Never had been in the apartment before. Walked in. As soon as I walked in, I was very familiar and very at home in the apartment. I knew the layout of the apartment. I knew where the, you know, what the kitchen was going to look like. I knew where the bathroom was. I'd been there before. I knew this apartment. And I didn't put it together then, but, you know, thinking back on it all these years, I as soon as I crossed the threshold of this apartment, I was seeing this apartment through someone else's eyes. But didn't think much of it, really. Kind of went on doing our thing. A little time went by. I'd spend the night there a lot, sleep on the couch. There was a long hallway that ran from the front of the apartment pretty much through the whole apartment all the way back into the kitchen. And it passed, like, one of the bedrooms and another dining room area and a hallway. So one night I'm sleeping and I hear somebody obviously walking through the apartment. This place had really creaky floors. It was an old Chicago apartment building. And very clearly heard someone walking up to the couch where I was and stop right at where my head was at the end of the couch where the hallway ended. And I sat up thinking it was my grandma or my aunt or somebody. And to my surprise, I sat up and I didn't see anybody. But there was definitely somebody there. I knew there was someone there. And I got the creepiest feeling of being watched and, like, really watched, where you feel like someone is just staring into your soul. I am very sensitive to this kind of thing and to ghosts or whatever you want to say. So I knew somebody was there. And I just remember I laid back down really quick and I pulled the pillow over my head. And I was just terrified, and I didn't hear anyone walk away, and I didn't hear anybody move, and I finally fell back asleep, didn't say anything to anyone the next day, because my grandma really was very much a sensitive, but very much didn't want to talk about it, didn't want it discussed in her house. People would try to bring Ouija boards in her house, and it was like, absolutely not doing that in my house. So I didn't really say anything to my grandma, but, you know, this went on all the time. I slept there a lot, and you would routinely almost every night hear someone pacing from all the way through the hall apartment, through this hallway. And they'd get to the end and they would turn around and they would walk straight back through to the kitchen. This went on probably a good 4 or 5 hours a night. And it was always, not thinking of it back then, but knowing now, definitely dead time. It was middle of the night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It kept happening. Didn't really say anything to anyone. And one night something woke me up and I didn't know what it was. It wasn't necessarily a sound or the walking, but something woke me up and I looked right over to an old rocking chair my grandma had in the corner. And there was enough light coming in from the streetlights, to illuminate enough to see that the rocking chair was actually rocking. I could see the shadow of the bottom of the rocking chair against the wooden floor. And it was rocking back and forth on its own. She didn't have any pets. There was no one else in the room with me. Really no reason that this chair would have started rocking, but the thing that really scared me was the fact that it didn't really stop rocking. I probably laid there and I was completely terrified. I had that feeling of just intense staring, just watching, just definitely looking at me. And I was just afraid to move. I remember being that afraid to not even want to move. I was looking just with my eyes moving. I wouldn't even move my head. And I laid there just terrified and finally fell back asleep. But I would say I probably would estimate that I laid there watching this rocking chair steadily rock back and forth on its own for at least 10 to 15 minutes. And I don't know, somehow fell asleep. And that was that with the rocking chair. But not long after that, my grandpa, who was a World War II veteran, slept in the middle room in the house, and it was the hallway went right through this room. And he woke up one day and was really upset and, you know, started kind of yelling out and asking everybody, what the hell is up with this person or whoever this is pacing this apartment all night long? Like, I can't get any sleep. It's driving me crazy. Like, who is pacing? And my grandma got upset with him when she realized he was saying that it was, you know, not any of us, that it was like some unexplained pacing. She got upset with him and told him to stop talking about it. But he, as soon as he talked about it and he showed anger towards it, it really revved up, but it revved up just around him and in the room that he would sleep in. So you would still hear the pacing, but it would seem like the pacing would only go from the kitchen into the room that he was in and turn around and go back to just to really target him and his sleeping area. And one night he was sleeping, and for one reason or the other, he had a small blade, like a hacksaw blade that he had done some kind of repair in the house with days before. And it was sitting up in the corner on a box that was there, a couple boxes that were piled in the corner. And he woke up having pain in his head and didn't know, you know, what was happening. And he got up and he realized that the blade, the saw blade, was laying next to his pillow, and his head was bleeding, and he was bleeding, you know, not crazy bleeding, but bleeding enough, and had a big scratch, a big cut on his head. I would say the cut was, you know, it was kind of thin because it was a thin blade, but it was probably a good 3 to 4 inches long on the top of his head, kind of closer to his forehead. And there was no reason that would fall like that, and especially not just fall, but he kept saying how hard it, you know, it must have fallen to cut him like that, that it came down with force. Again, my grandma got upset with him, told him to stop it. It's just that you had it sitting up there, and it's your own fault. Don't talk about it. And my grandpa continued to talk about it, and then he said that it started slapping his feet in the middle of the night, hitting his feet and slapping his feet and not letting him sleep. And so the more he talked about it in the apartment, the more the activity was revving up. And my grandma told him to stop talking about it. And he did. And around this time, I was probably about 12. And I was a kid who loved to take really long showers and baths. And I couldn't do that at home, but I could do that at my grandma's house. So I remember sitting in the bathtub, letting the bathtub fill up, but letting it fill up with the shower running, like, down on me. And something caught my attention, and I looked up to see, just for a split second, my grandpa's disposable razor that he would leave sitting on the medicine cabinet. There was a light on either side of the medicine cabinet, and he would set it up on the left side on top of this light. It was flat surface. He set it there all the time. It never fell. Never thought about it. I looked up just in a split second to see this thing either hovering or just coming over the shower curtain. Because where it sat was lower than where the shower curtain started. I would say it probably would have had to raise up a good 6 to 7 inches to get over the shower curtain. And before I could even react, I remember just kind of gasping because seeing it and feeling something really quickly. And before I could really even react to it, that disposable razor came flying down on my leg and hit my leg, and it cut my leg. And it also left just this big bruise. It was like a kind of like a hematoma under my skin on my leg. And of course, when this happened, I was freaked out. I was terrified. I, you know, grabbed a towel. I think I even left the shower running, ran out, went and told my grandma what happened. And she's, you know, cut it out. It just fell. And then when I was trying to explain to her, no, it came over the shower curtain. It was in the air. She said, well, where is it? You know, where did it hit you? Let me see it. And she was quite surprised when she saw my leg, because it had started already to bruise, and it had just happened that I had a really big bruise and a cut on my leg that later turned to a probably, I would say, a golf ball size bruise with a lump on it and a cut. And there was no explanation to, even if a razor fell, it might scrape you or it might whatever, but two things that happened was it came, moved on its own. It was suspended in the air. And as soon as I saw it, it just moved so fast and incredibly fast and incredibly hard for a small little plastic disposable razor. Yeah. And that's just one of many stories that I have about that apartment and others. And I would love to share them with you. Because later on, what we did find out was that there was a young man that lived in that apartment with his father. And he was a young adult at the time. And he had a drug and alcohol problem. And he ended up actually hanging himself from the kitchen light. So I kind of feel like it was him. It was definitely him. I think he was angry. And he was still there. He was still in this apartment. Little did we know that somebody had actually hung themselves, and that was verified through neighbors and even friends in the neighborhood of this man that killed himself. And I later saw what I believed to have been him outside, kind of in a walkway that would lead into the back of this apartment. So I would love to talk to you guys further, give you more stuff. I hope you enjoy it. I love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
If you want access to more Real Ghost Stories, become a premium subscriber to Real Ghost Stories Online. Sign up now through Apple Podcasts and try it for 3 days free. Not on Apple? Go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com.